I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. So I'm doing a bit of thinking lately about art and the people who create it, especially when the people who create that art are not particularly good people. And by art, I talk about actors and musicians and anybody who's really doing creative work. And it seems like when an artist gets caught up in a scandal, people call for the banning of their works. It's easy for me to boycott Garrison Keillor because I was never a fan. I didn't like Bill Cosby, so it's easy for me not to watch anything that he did. I never found Louis C.K. that funny, so I can easily not watch any of his work that he has ever done. And I'm good with that. But here's where it gets tough. I love Al Franken. I'm a huge fan. And I also think that Jeffrey Tambor is brilliant, and he was incredible on one of the greatest shows that I think TV has ever produced, Larry Sanders' Show. And Kevin Spacey, he's one of our great American actors. I don't see how I'm going to give those three up, and all have had accusations against them, although I think the one against Al Franken is pretty much on the very, very light side. But what really brings this to mind is that in my book Passion, I write about artist Eric Gill, who was one of the most brilliant artists of the 20th century. It is amazing, because production and the stuff that he did in sculpture and in printmaking, he was a master. But if you read my book, you find out he was, for good reason, one of the most controversial artists of the 20th century. So much so that people have called for pulling down the gigantic statuary that he created, and many have called for banning of his art, which would be a shame because he was a brilliant artist. His art is amazing. And then I got to thinking, there have been calls to remove his massive sculpture of Ariel and Prospero from the front of the BBC Broadcasting House. They want to tear it down. But what if the BBC Broadcasting House was designed by a pedophile? Would they be calling for it to be torn down? There was an architect named Adolf Loos. He was a contemporary of Eric Gill. And he was convicted of child molestation in 1926. And Gill was very active in the 20s, so they were contemporaries around the same time. But nobody is ever called to tear down the many villas that Adolf Loos designed, or the Viennese Modernist Goldman and Salich building. We don't have boycotts saying, gee, you can't go into that building, or maybe we should just tear it down. Seems like these acts of moral outrage, and yes, a lot of these people were horrible, but these acts of moral outrage are based on convenience more than anything else. It's easy to say, oh, gee, here's an artist I don't like, so I'm not going to look at any of his pictures, and I think they should take them out of the museums. That's easy, because I don't care. But these kinds of actions are always targeted against individuals. They're targeted against artists. But in the world of art, when you include television and movies and other art forms that are collaborative, it gets a little murkier. Should we ban all of the Weinstein-produced movies? I mean, it's hard to get worse than Harvey Weinstein, but they're not calling for a boycott of films that he was involved with. I mean, should we boycott labor because Secretary Acosta allowed Jeffrey Epstein, who is one of our worst sexual predators for children, Acosta gave him a plea deal that let him get off with very, very little punishment. So basically, when it comes to people who create art or movies or any kind of massive creative project, I think we should understand the context about who created it, but it's ultimately about the art. Let the art speak for itself. But then there's the individuals. When you look in my book, Passion, boy, there's a whole bunch of artists that if you get on your moral high horse, you should say should be banned, because a lot of them are really horrible people. But I don't care about that. I let the art speak for itself. And all of the artists in my book are dead, but I am concerned about the actual people who are still alive who have done horrible acts. I'm extremely happy that Bill Cosby is in prison. I don't want to see all his stuff banned, everything that he did throughout his life. But he is a horrible person. He is a serial rapist. And that will always be the context with his work and his comedy. And that will always color it. But I don't think we should ban it. But I'm all for punishment. And while it doesn't always involve jail time, it in the Me Too movement, it has meant the loss of careers for a lot of people. Well, that may be depriving us of some great art, but nobody has the right to continue to make art. When you really screw up, I don't have a problem if your career kind of ends. We don't need to support you anymore. I may not like it when it's somebody I really like their work, as the case of Kevin Spacey, but that's kind of how it is, and kind of how I think it needs to be. I'm actually far more concerned about people who have actual power who get away with doing horrible things or when they finally get caught. And I have a real problem with how politicians seem to be able to get away with doing absolutely horrible things, reprehensible things, but they get re-embraced after the heat dies down a little bit. I mean, look at Roy Moore. He's going to run for the Senate again, and you don't hear screaming from the Republicans say that they don't want this child-obsessed monster. They seem to be very, very forgiving. And then there's Rob Porter. This is a guy who we know committed horrific domestic violence on his partner. And just 13 months later, this man, who is horrible, is a violent man, but he is now writing op-eds for the Wall Street Journal. I don't think we should hear from him again. He abused two ex-wives, and we should forget about him. We shouldn't be elevating him or put him in the public media. More and more news is coming out about Alex Azar. He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and what he did for Jeffrey Epstein is horrifying, and new stories keep coming out virtually every day. The Jeffrey Epstein case is one of the worst abuses of the law we've seen in a long time, and probably most people haven't really heard the extent of the story. And the latest thing that we have heard, they had 40 girls to choose from. There were a lot more than that, but when they were prosecuting it, they had 40 girls to pick from. They chose a girl as the single one they would let him plead out on, who was 16 when he started raping her. Why is that important? Well, because the girl who initially came to the police was 14 when he started raping her. Had prosecutors gone with her case, Jeffrey Epstein would have had to register as a sex offender. He'd have to be on the registry. If the girl is older than 16, in a lot of states where Epstein, the billionaire, owns property, he doesn't have to register as a sex offender, even though he's one of the most dangerous sex offenders we've ever seen in this country. He's a billionaire. He's got almost unlimited money and no conscience and a desire to have sex with very young girls. He should have gone to prison for the rest of his life. Instead, they cut him a deal that is unbelievable, that not only protected all of his co-conspirators, but gave him a fairly short prison term, just 13 months on two charges. And keep in mind, that was just for one woman, when we know there were probably more than 80 girls and women that he assaulted sexually. But he got 13 months in jail, and okay, yeah, that would suck, but not for him. They let him out during the day to go work in his luxury office. So sure, his bedroom sucked because it was basically a prison, but he got to sleep through that. He spent his days, long days, at his office, enjoying all the luxuries that the life of a billionaire can provide. That is scant justice for one of America's worst serial pedophiles. And yet, what the hell, Acosta still has his job. He has facilitated the rape of children by letting Jeffrey Epstein off with very minimal punishment. And he should have spent the rest of his life behind bars, but now he quickly became free to go out and do whatever he wanted. And it looks like part of it was also a cover-up to keep us from knowing who the other people were that were involved with this as well. Because he didn't do it on his own. He shared these girls with his rich and powerful friends. Is Donald Trump one of those? Well, Donald Trump is one of his rich and powerful friends. And there have been accusations that Trump raped an underage girl at one of Epstein's parties. The girl came out, but in fear for her life, she withdrew her claim. She's never said that, oh no, he didn't do it. She just backed away in obvious fear. So what's happening is what should have happened a while ago. Alex Acosta, who, as a prosecutor, should go to jail for what he did in this case. And it's hard to believe that he would do this if there weren't some kind of money involved for him. So it all needs to be investigated, and that's what we should do. We should take the people, find out what badness they did, then throw them in jail and punish them for it. But I guess that's more work than just boycotting an artist.